Hey, it's Chris. Welcome back to the Between Dreams podcast. Between Dreams is cultivating creators to make today's dreams tomorrow's reality. How about that?
That's good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I can.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
Today's guest is Connor Sherland. You like share and land.
Share like the singer and land like the ground.
Put that together. So you are a musician. We met probably a year-ish ago, maybe a little bit more, when I was working on some random projects, and I invited you to the woods in the Hollywood Hills to make a music video.
Right.
And then we did that. And then I kept in touch a bit, and you've been bouncing around California doing shows, lots of shows.
Yep.
And the probably a cool thing, I'd say one of the take-home things that from what you, the work that you're creating, is that it seems like you keep showing up and doing a lot of things. I see you're playing at this, you're playing here, you're bouncing up here, you're doing this, and you're doing everything possible to be visible to everyone.
Yeah.
And that's great, because a lot of people are sitting around waiting for someone to give them an opportunity. And obviously that's what my whole mission and the Between Dreams and the Just Go mission is, to get out there and make things happen.
Yeah.
Where does that, what keeps you driven to keep showing up and making things happen, when sometimes I know from all of us who are creating stuff is like, you can very easily hit that like frustration thing of burnout or something, from like, I just showed up to 100 shows and I was expecting something more to happen.
Yeah.
Not like that you haven't made things happen, but just in like all of us, we've all been there like doing these things, and it's like it takes longer than you think it's going to take. And a lot of people listening are going to feel that. So what keeps you showing up?
Yeah, I feel like I've been doing 100 shows and not much has happened should be like the subtitle of a book I should write as like an autobiography.
Yeah.
I mean, right now I'm between like show number 300 and 400, like nearing 400 right now. And I'm still like nowhere near where I want to be. But this, I have no clear cheat code to become a huge musical star or to become famous or anything.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to affect as many people as I can with my music as possible. So if I have no connections, and if I have very little resources to make that happen, what I should be doing is playing in front of people as much as I humanly can. So it's been 3 to 5 gigs a week for the last year, probably.
Yeah.
And that is a lot of playing in front of people, a lot of like, hey, nice to meet you, share like the singer, land like the ground. It's a lot of that.
Yeah.
But it's what keeps me going is the fact that I have not met every person in the world. And there are lots of people who enjoy my music, and I haven't found my like real community niche yet.
Yeah.
And I do believe that it's out there, because I run into people and they're like, dude, I'm going to listen to your music like all the time. I can't believe you're not famous. And I'm like, I mean, I can, because I remember me as a baby and I wasn't like that tight as a baby. So I understand why I'm not famous. But that's cool that you think that, because that means that like a small like sect of America probably will, and they'll probably dig it, and I will be able to make a living even more as I continue to find those people and rope them in.
I've often, we hear these stories from entertainer, I feel like, especially like stand-up comedians or musicians as well, any type of entertainer, you always hear the thing of, you know, there could be a room full of people who are loving the show, but you see like one person in the back who's like texting or something, and it's like ruins your entire night.
Yeah.
And so many people focus on that concept of that one person can like ruin the show, but you just came at the exact, you flipped that 180 and said, well, there was one person. And I've had that a couple times just recently. I did a show at like a library, which is like not, it's like probably the least glamorous venue that a performer can be in, because not anything against them, you know, like libraries, it's great, it's a great thing, but I'm just saying like it's not like a theater with lighting and there's, it's like a classroom essentially.
Right.
And I just did that, and then I had somebody, this mom of a little kid, commenting on a bunch of my Instagram posts or something, And she was saying that her little daughter, like a 3-year-old daughter or something, for like 2 weeks after has been like talking about the tricks and doing the things. So instead of saying, oh, there's one person, there was kids that were crying throughout the entire show at, you know, because they're just their parents were like, oh, we should go to the juggling thing.
Because you moved them that
and,
largely.
Yeah, right. But, you know, that was a choice. So that was a choice that I could have made. Oh, there was a kid crying. Or there was a kid who has been talking about... both are true, right. But both are realities that you can choose to turn down. And that's what is great to hear. You chose to... You know, there's been equally more people who like left your show than came up to you after and were like, this is amazing.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know that, but I know that just because that's not, again, it's not you. That's like what being on stage and you don't like, they had a doctor's, it wasn't because they didn't like you. They had a doctor's appointment and then, but we're like, oh, they hate me. Everyone hates me. Right. The world's ending. Like, no, they like told, they or like they had to pick up their kid from soccer or something. So that's to kind of tie all that together is I love that the choice of like, it's just a perception thing.
Mm-hmm.
One person loves me and that's enough to keep me going for this day. Or like that one person walked away, so I must suck and I should give up.
Right.
And those are thoughts that go through everyone's.
Yeah.
Performers are not like anyone.
Yeah. And I think like what you did at the library, what you did with a lot of classrooms in the last year, like just going to play at a lot of places, it shows a bunch of humility and understanding that if someone doesn't care about you, you need to make them care about you.
Right.
Like you need to introduce yourself to them.
Yeah.
And you, for me, it's very cool because I think of you as, a bit like a couple steps ahead of the game in terms of like where I am in the game. And it's cool watching you do things where I'm like, I wouldn't do that. And I'm like, ooh, I should probably do that.
Yeah.
Because that, like, those things are linked, like, these, like, more baller gigs that you do and, like, the, like, very not gigs that you do.
Yeah.
Like, you play for free multiple times in a week.
Yeah.
And that is not below you. And,
right.
And that's not below me and it's not below most people because that's that's how we get to meet people. Like,
yeah.
I personally feel like, and, like, you might resonate with this as well, like, in a crowded room... where there's just like, you know, your average looking guy and there's like the really attractive guy and then there's like the not attractive guy at all. We're like somewhere here in the middle. And so like the majority of the attention's up here with like the pretty hot guy. And then the rest of us are just like hanging out. But like we don't stand out necessarily just by like hanging out in a room. So if we actually want to like ever book a gig, we have to show that like we can do something.
Right.
Because no one like looks at me and they're like, I bet he's a really good musician.
Yeah.
I bet he can really hold my attention in a room.
Right.
It's like, well, I can, but I can see why you don't think that because I'm, you know, I'm 5'9" and
that there is probably such a value in that though of, you know, if you were this thing, because they're hiring you after like it's a harder at first, but there's so much more value in that.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that sometimes with my juggling show of like, I want it to be more than just like an initial, oh, this like flashy thing.
Yeah.
But there's a balance, I guess. I don't know. I guess that's valuable to like build something that's more than like, oh, there's something at the surface level of this.
Right. Right.
And going back to, that's interesting what you were talking about when you kind of look at me, not me, it was just in general, just people who are doing stuff that feels like you wouldn't expect them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
In that you know, I see that all the time. Of, I think living in LA is an interesting a new way of seeing things. In that you see like celebrities like picking up their kids from stuff, and they're just like talking, and you're like, oh. I thought everyone who's ever been on TV like had people do things for them.
Right.
Or like you see a celebrity at Trader Joe's like comparing the two broccoli things because like they want to get the fresher one. You were like, oh, I thought that went away at some point.
Right. Yeah.
But then you see it and it's really cool. I think, again, it's really cool for me to see that you see people that are like that I think that are like way higher. And it's just, they're just doing the same things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there is no world that you, I mean, if you're like Johnny Depp, your life's probably different, but like,
sure. Yeah.
It's really cool to see that perspective change, to see, oh, people aren't this like different. There's no one's different.
Yeah. Yeah. Like everyone still has probably, to work insanely hard in order to move up.
It was in like the variety show world as well. Like, you know, musicians, I see musicians and comedians that are like, oh, this is like a legit person. And they're showing up at like the unpaid shows because they're like working on this stuff or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that never goes away. Like you can't like buy your way into like, there's also this foundational skill that you need to work through your craft and become good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Or like people showing up on podcasts that you're like, oh, I didn't think they would say yes.
Yeah.
And they show up.
Yeah.
You know, and all these things. So what do you think, going back to specifically on your music, mm-hmm. so dig into that, two sides of it, where would you say your biggest inspiration comes from music? And then paired into that, it might be combined into this answer, is what do you want the people that are listening to experiencing your performances to walk away with or feel during the performance?
Yeah, so some of my biggest influences, like bands that I really enjoy, are bands like Shaky Graves, Bahamas, Coheed and Cambria, Lights, she's a Canadian pop star, she's just like super dope. Like Eminem, Linkin Park, just like normal kid stuff that I was really into. Everything Disney. Like this morning I was playing the intro song to Hunchback of Notre Dame, which is like one of the coolest songs. Like I've been really into the Hamilton soundtrack lately, and I'm like, some of these songs are crazy cool. But like the intro song for Hunchback of Notre Dame is like mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Like, number of movements, amount of story that's in it, like different voices. There's like 12 characters in that one song being introduced.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This is so deep. I love it. So those are all the influences, and what they have in common is they tell me a story.
Mm.
They're using music to display their emotion. So they have a story, and like the emotion really comes through in the tone and the actual musical arrangements that they're making. And then overall catchiness, like it's cool if something's beautiful, but if it's catchy, it's beautiful over and over again in your head. Mm. And that's really cool. Like, like I'm thinking about like some of the best restaurants I've been to, and it's because I have a memory there, and that memory ties to the taste. Or like your favorite concerts, like that music is now tied to this memory and it like replays in your head.
Yeah.
One of Lights is like one of my favorite songs by Lights is one that she dedicated to me in a concert, dedicated to me after I screamed, "Marry me now while there's time." And she looked up at me and then said something very sweet to me and started playing a song. And I was like, and everybody around was like, "Dude, this is so cool." And I was like, "Shut up. Everyone needs to shut up right now. I'm having a moment."
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll just say that's what I keep in mind a lot of the time when it comes to music, where it's like, I'm a lot less romantic about it and more just like, how do I personally interact with you through a song?
And less romantic in it. In what way? What does that mean?
Like when I,
what your explanation of that felt in a, you know, less romantic, but you wanted to create this personal experience for somebody.
Yeah. So I want to create a personal experience. Like I want to have a conversation with you here now. Like I'm totally interacting with you here now. And that is like this becomes a memory because like we had a real conversation and it like lasted a decent amount of time. But I'm not romantic in the way that some musicians are, which is totally cool, where they'll like play a chord and you just feel like they go somewhere in their mind and you're like,
oh yeah,
man, you love music. I don't get that very much.
Yeah.
I appreciate it so much because I need those people to interact with me. But like when I play a chord, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
On to the next one.
So what if somebody said you can't play the guitar anymore? Or sing?
Because like, oh, in this scenario, am I like physically deformed?
Or it doesn't matter. Well, no,
it's just like illegal.
They said you can't do, or this is just not, the ability to do this doesn't exist anymore.
Okay, the technology is no longer
that's
there.
That's just not, you can't do this.
But you're on a planet, people can't sing on this
planet.
Yeah, it's like a gravity
thing.
It's
not like, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't realize that gravity was so integral to singing, but it's right. Like, this is like a weird gravity.
Yeah, well, that's and it's like, makes sense for juggling.
This is an anti-singing.
Yeah. Like gravity, if I landed on a planet and they were like, yeah, gravity, it doesn't, you can't juggle here.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Or that thing.
Great, let's call it a gravity thing.
Yeah, so what is that? What happens in that world to you since you're not romantic about the cord?
I would guess it'd be a lot of poetry, and I'd probably have a day job. That would be it.
Okay. So
stories.
Right. So my point in that was, I've talked about this before here, is that I often say this thing of like, I've kind of dedicated my life and all my skills, a lot of my skills, to like learning tricks, which are like throwing things and catching things.
Right.
Which is like a valuable thing because people think it looks awesome.
It does.
Like with what I do, people pay me to impress them.
Yeah.
But I don't care about juggling.
Yeah.
So there's a thing of like, why don't, and I think it's related to what you said of not being romantic about the music. I don't care about juggling in that I don't like spend 3 hours a day practicing the juggling tricks. I care more about like, I'll spend more time like trying to figure out the lighting to make my backdrop look cooler because I think that's a more important part of the experience than if I can juggle one more ball.
Right.
For the people. So, and that question came
from... The difference between 7 and 8 balls being juggled is negligible.
Right, but the difficulty of it is...
The difficulty is huge.
Years of...
But, like, entertainment...
Yeah.
Like, it's all one big blur.
Yeah.
So, like, from 6 to 8 to whatever. Like,
right.
Once you're past 20, I'm sure that's, like, crazy cool. Like,
well, the point is, and it's been talked about here before recently, so I won't dig into it, but I just did a couple like larger scale gigs that, in the sense that they were higher paid gigs, and I didn't do anything more than 3 balls and 3 clubs, and that was by design. Like I'm not a super technical juggler, but I can do 5 balls and I've done it on stage, but I made the decision to do 3 in that I can, if I'm doing 5 balls, I'm focused on doing 5 balls because I'm not like an expert 5 ball juggler, but I can do it. But I need to really focus on that. And I can either focus on catching balls or giving the audience a good show.
Yeah.
So that is a clear choice of what, if I'm doing 3 balls, I can be making eye contact with them and doing all this stuff. So that's interesting to hear, because a lot of musicians do have that thing like, no, I'm a musician. There's art to this.
Yeah.
And
there is.
I should be. Yeah, it's absolutely, there's art to juggle, you know, performance. We've all dedicated our life to like learning the skill.
Yeah.
But now that skill, in my world, that skill should be used as a tool to drive whatever it is, a feeling, a message, a story, whatever that emotion that you're trying to convey. And we've seen it too many times in that magicians care about card tricks,
right?
You know, jugglers care about catching things, musicians care about like, oh, this chord, or I hit this note or something, and the audience has no idea unless it serves the purpose.
Right.
And again, that's not taking away from people who are like super artistically into creating their thing. There's a place for that. I'm in a different place now where I just care about that audience experience.
Yeah.
So that's cool to hear from a musician, which is slightly out of my like normal realm of variety acts.
But I think it just comes down to like what's more valuable, like actually connecting with people or being a fantastic musician, magician, juggler, whatever.
Yeah.
Like the answer is both.
Yeah.
And the answer is you have to be really good at like helping people know that they're cared about, helping people know that they're seen in a room.
Yeah.
And like that is like the difference between like Mr. Rogers and like some other guy who can play the piano and sing pretty well is like Mr. Rogers took that ability, all that musical ability, and he transferred it over to children and like used music as a tool, like used stage design as a tool, used his puppetry as a tool to say to like multiple generations, you're worthwhile, I'm glad that you're here. And he was like actually friends with those people. He was actually like glad to be there with them.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's amazing in just being able to do that. I've used this analogy before of like a carpenter or something who has like a toolbox.
Yeah.
And so the problem right now is that like the sink is broken.
Yeah.
Or the audience wants to feel something.
Yeah.
Those are the two problems. Like the audience comes to theater or a show because they want to escape their day or just experience something. Just like we need the sink fix, it's leaking. Mm-hmm. So when the tool, when the carpenter, plumber, or whatever comes, he has a box of tools. He might use a screwdriver, or he might use a hammer, or he might use another wrench. But I don't care. I'm as the audience who wants the sink to stop leaking. Yeah. I don't care what tool he uses. Fix the problem.
Yeah.
And I think that juggling or magic tricks or music is that tool.
Yeah.
And I think there's value in not being attached to the tool. So like if that plumber said, oh, there's this new technology that like I can like laser beam this and it's fixed instantly.
Yeah.
Like everyone would be like, well, you're an idiot if you just want to keep, it's going to take you an hour with a screwdriver.
Yeah.
Like that's like clearly like, no, you're just being, you're stuck in the past.
Yeah.
And I think there's a value in that seeing your skills as a tool.
Yeah. And I think when you run into the guy at the house party who is like, he pulled out his guitar so he could like play to like the girl in the corner to like seduce her, that's like, that seems like not using that tool exactly right. Where now I'm speaking on things I shouldn't be talking about, but yeah, there's a lot of that where it's like there's definitely a lot of times you should not be singing
right
in the day.
Yeah. Yeah, like use it for what it's what it should be done for.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So, what do you think? Where are you going with? What do you think the ultimate or not ultimate outcome? Where do you in like 1 year or 2 years, a short term thing? Like, where would you ideally be with what you're doing? So, you're doing a lot of gigs right now, and it as you said earlier, like you have. You're out there like kind of like one by one, fan here, and that's I think that is it's exactly where I am in, especially with stuff like this podcast. There's like a couple people who like really like it, and that's really interesting to me that to build those like real core fans.
Yeah.
So what do you think is, you know, short term, 1 year out? Where do you want to be with this, with your performances, with your music?
Yeah, I would love to be able to physically play a little bit less.
Yeah.
Because it is extremely taxing on my body to do 3 to 5 a week. Like this week is a four or fiver. And by Saturday night, I'm just pretty dead.
Yeah.
And it a lot of the gigs that I do are things like 2 hours or 3 hours. Go ahead and fill the slot, entertain this bar for 3 hours. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever tried to entertain anything for 3 hours. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
Like, so those types of things end up being like entertain for an hour and a half, get ignored for an hour and a half, which is fine. Like I have the skin to take that at the moment. But I would love to be able to transfer some of that income, like from playing so many gigs live to like people actually enjoying my stuff online and wanting to support me in my process. Mm-hmm. Because I have like, I think in terms of like a company, if you saw some kid who was like putting out albums pretty consistently, was like very regular in his playing outside, like you saw that for a couple of years, you should expect him to continue. And like you, if you like him now, you should expect to like him later. Like, and that's sort of where I am in my journey. I'm on my third EP right now, and I would love for this to do really well. It's like, it is by far the best thing that I've made. Like the other stuff feels like here, and this thing feels like here.
Yeah.
Like so much higher in quality and style. Like, I had a friend recently tell me, like, you know, some of the stuff that you make, I listen to because you're my friend. And this I'm going to listen to because I want to listen to this.
Nice.
And I was like, thank you.
Yeah. Well, and like, when that crosses, that's like a real
yeah,
a real thing.
It's huge. And like, when I was in high school, when I was in college, I still sung. I just sucked.
Yeah.
That was like the reality. So that was everyone's impression of me. Like, Connor likes to sing. I love watching Connor sing because Connor really loves to sing.
Right.
Connor's not that great at singing.
Yeah.
But I support him.
Yeah.
And I think that that's cool. And I like, I love that. What I love more is when that person is like, I've changed my mind about you and I think you're just good now.
Yeah.
And you don't need to be my friend in order for me to like your music. I just like it now.
And this, the take home from that is that that doesn't come, you know, that thing doesn't come, you know, we've talked about those, the first step in the Just Go principles and everything of, you know, if you want to be on this, we all think, see that person who's up here on this mountain or something, mm-hmm. but it's like they, or on the top of the ladder, like there's one way to get there. It's like, be on that first rung for a while,
yeah.
second rung, third rung, and then you're probably going to fall down and then you start, you do it again. And it's yeah. like that, when you get there, you didn't just jump up. You can't jump up there.
Right.
So you need to get there through those steps, and then it's like that's when you break through that thing yeah. of making it happen. So we're coming up on 30 minutes already. We're about to wrap up the main episode, and mm-hmm. then we're going to kick over to patreon.com/betweendreams where you can hear more of us talking. So if you want to hear more, you bounce over to there. But we got one more minute here. So before we bounce over there, let's do somebody listening is in that like first year where they're just getting beaten down. They've hit, second rung of the ladder, and then
yeah.
the ladder gets swiped out from under them. Yeah. And then they keep trying, and then, nothing's working. Oh, I put on my own show and no one came, and layer after layer of these things. In 1 minute, what advice do you have them to keep going?
Yeah, I would say just go ahead and start with that is not uncommon. Like Sum 41 said, crashed my own house party because nobody came.
Yeah.
And that's
classic.
That's been going on since the late 90s, at yeah. least. People not showing up to parties. So I would say, one, you're not alone. And yeah. then two, it's just a sign of where you are. Like you should be able to... rejoice in which rung you're on, and if you are on rung one, own it. Like
yeah.
I'm really trying to own it. Like I really tried to win a competition in this last year. I lost it. I want to own that, like
yeah.
because I want to be able to say when I am like however many rungs up in the future, like the whole time you saw like, and I never gave up because it was hard. And that's like my big thing. Like I've made a deal with myself that I'm not going to give up because it's hard. I want to give up because I'm honestly not good enough.
Yeah.
And so that is my main question, is like, am I good enough? And if I am, then all I need to do is work harder and like work harder just means like more repetition on the guitar, practicing scales, more cold calling. That's the majority of the job.
Yeah.
Is like cold calls and cold emails. Thousands of DMs on Instagram that I've been sending out, like, and that's not like an over exaggeration. Like,
yeah.
Like every hour, a quick five on the pot, just send them out real quick, keep going on with your day. And,
yeah.
I really own where you are in the process so that when people say, like, so that when people do remind you of where you are in the world, you're like, yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. And then you can keep going forward. Cause if you like puff yourself up internally and the world keeps saying like you're not that big, it's like that there's just going to be so much discord there. But when you can have a good sense of like internal worth, just because you're a person and like you deserve to be on the earth, you have so much worth as just a person, period.
Yeah.
That's just true about all people. And then you can really own this humble thing that you're really not super proud of, but you will be later
yeah.
when you see how far you've come. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm like really trying to own my like high school self who can't
yeah.
sing worth a lick
yeah.
right now.
Cool. That's great. If you want to hear more of this conversation, we are bouncing over to patreon.com/betweendreams where you can become part of the family there. And you will get access to every single interview. We go deeper. And when you become a Patreon person over there, for about the price of a cup of coffee per month, you can hear more in-depth conversations. Additionally, that helps support make all of this stuff happen. The main episodes are always for free. So you just give us a couple bucks and we'll keep making free stuff. And you get the bonus content. So, okay, head over there. We'll see you over there.